Yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to Mr. Money TV live on Thursday night.
Hey, let's go, let's go. My name is Frankie.
And I'm Peter, Mr. Money.
Yeah, how's everyone doing?
Yeah, if your health loud and clear, please write one in the comment so that we know that you can hear us. Yeah, because my side here...
Yeah, sounds okay, sounds good, but we are not sure whether you guys can hear us or not.
That's right. Now, so... In this market, can we still make money? That is actually the question that we are going to be discuss about, or hopefully we can offer some sort of an answer, right?
Yeah, somebody is leading us into one side of the topic already.
That's right. Yeah. So the first question that comes up here is straight away, Bitcoin is crashing. Buy or sell? Nizam straight away say buy more. Yeah, NLS say don't buy yet. Let it go cheaper, then all in.
Yeah. That's what makes a market, right? Everybody have their opinion. Some people will say that they want to buy more. Somebody will say that they want to sell.
When you have to buy and sell,
it creates a market. So that's what makes market exciting all the time.
That's right. Yeah. So what happened is that over the past few days, cryptocurrency went into a crashing mode. Right. And this time around when we talk about crash, right, we are not really talking about like 10% drop lah.
I think more than that already, right?
If you calculate from the all-time high, from
73 to now about 58.
Yeah. But it was at about 64 and then dropped to about 58. So we're talking about 6. Yeah. So nearing that about 8% to 9% drop. Yeah.
Yep.
Now, the interesting thing that in my opinion is that I don't really see it as a crash. Yeah. Do you see this as a crash?
Kind of expected in a way. I think we did look at the technical analysis chart as well, and I remember you were saying that, hey, looking from the chart, right, it looks like it's gonna drop a little bit.
Yeah.
And reading some articles, watching some YouTube videos also suggested that a lot of people are actually expecting it to drop quite a bit. If you ask different people, they'll have different reasons. Later we will share our reasons as well. But maybe you can recap a bit on why you see that Bitcoin is actually coming down from the high of 73,000. Right. Why not it just continue to go up to 100?
Okay, firstly, we keep seeing response there saying that the background music is actually still on. So turn off already, is it? Yeah, okay cool.
Good.
Let's go into it. So your question is, why is Bitcoin going down, right? Yeah. Now, if I know the real answer, then definitely
I'm God already.
Definitely, we know the surface answer. What we're doing by surface answer is the things that lead to it. How people really think that lead to it. That one is I don't have the answer lah. Huh? Now, nonetheless, over the past few days, Bitcoin has been seeing red. Especially one category of people is suffering. Right?
Oh, what category?
Leverage traders.
Oh yes. Yeah,
just within a short period of 24 hours, $448 million in leverage long position has been liquidated.
Yeah.
So for those of you who do not understand what's a leverage long, it basically means that you took a loan with the broker. Yeah. Let's say instead you think that, oh, I only got $100 USD. I want to, since Bitcoin is going to go up, right? Why not I just take a position where I loan 5 times the amount? So now instead of 100 invested, it's 500 invested like that. So when the other day dropped by 8%, it's also times 5.
Yes. Yeah. Correct.
So it's 40% loss. Straight away, you $100 you left about 40 over. Yep. Likely it's going to be a margin call liquidated. Now, however, definitely if you're making money, you're talking about 5 times more. Yeah. So this is a very interesting thing to see. So the point that I want to make is this. There are more and more people making risky bets.
Which is not a good thing, right?
Which is not a good thing. Which caused an overvaluation, at least in the short term.
Because it will cause the asset to inflate in terms of price. Actually, it happened in all other asset classes as well. It's just that in crypto, it is more straightforward. It's easier to see because everything is traded on the exchange. So you just need to pay attention to a few exchanges. You can roughly see how much is the total leverage kind of trades. For other assets, right, it's harder to see. Like for example, if you say that there's a high leverage on property, how are you going to measure that, right?
Correct.
Because you have a house loan, I also have, but I don't know how many house loan each and everybody have.
And all the banks don't talk to each other.
Correct. So it's harder to gauge what is the sentiment in the market. But for crypto, it's one of the most transparent investment class. So therefore, it is very easy to tell, oh, now it's very highly leveraged. Prices pump, it's therefore it's inflated and stuff like that. So if you already saw that news, then you'll probably be more careful in your trading.
That's right. Mm. And on the other hand, why do I say it's not a crash share? It's because if you have been following cryptocurrency for long enough, 8%? Kacang putih lah.
Usually it's like 50-70%. Right.
That's that right, kind of yeah. level, right? Remember the last crash?
I can't remember it.
When we entered into the crypto winter, it was 70, it was 67.
60-ish.
Yeah, 67 dropped to 15.
Mm.
Yeah, so what is 64 to 58?
Consolidation.
Correct, correct. Yeah. So in the crypto world, you have to understand that when it comes to asset classes, they have their own volatility.
Yes.
Now, if you're talking about real estate, dropping 20% is, you are the ID, right? Mm. But you're talking about cryptocurrency here, right? Where the currency doesn't, you know, it's like you're talking about Bitcoin.
Yep.
A crazy crash, you're talking about 80-90%.
Mm.
And you can still come back, Aman. Yeah, if stock dropped by 90%, chances of it going back up is like 10 years once or 20 years once. Crypto, very fast. That's how it works, right? So in relevant to the asset itself, if you are investing in crypto, this kind of drop is not even considered a crash.
Mm.
Honestly, it's just a very mini correction. Yeah. Mm. Just it's just the numbers look big, but in relevance to the context of the history of the price volatility, this is actually nothing.
Yeah. But based on what I've read so far, I think I've built my own conclusion of why Bitcoin has been consolidating in the past couple of weeks. The lazy answer, if you read all over the headlines and all that, they will say, oh, that's because the Fed mentioned that they are not going to cut their interest rate so quickly, and therefore people are disappointed, so therefore many assets also drop in prices. Yeah, we heard that narrative many times already, so I think that is sort of like for the sake of writing, so they write something.
Correct.
But what I've noticed is that this is my own conclusion. I'm not sure whether this is correct or wrong, but if you think about it, right, because we just completed Bitcoin halving, means for all the miners in the world, suddenly from the block height of 840,000, your earnings cut by half.
That's right.
Right. So the same operation, the same number of resources that you put inside, but suddenly your profit dropped by half. So, but of course, in order to run your operation, your cost is the same, at least in the short term one, right?
Mm.
So in order to fill the gap of the 50%, right, there's only one thing you can do, which is to sell your existing Bitcoin.
Sell more.
Some more, so that you can raise the cash in order to pay for salary, pay for electricity bill, and stuff like that. In the meantime, of course, you cannot tahan this for a very long time. So what you need to do is to maybe buy new machines, improve the efficiency of your mining.
Because it's harder to mine now, right?
Correct, correct. So while you do all these investments to build more efficiency, it all requires money. And it requires you to sell your existing crypto assets to raise funds. So in that context, then it makes sense why Bitcoin is coming down.
That's
because
right.
of these miners, they are liquidating the assets for all these kind of expenses.
That's that, right. Yeah. They need to do. And for them, because they got it, like in a way, it's free.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for them to lower down the price to sell it,
yeah.
is not a huge problem
Correct.
For them.
Correct.
Right? Yeah, and number two, I think, or number three per se, is actually the idea that you have to understand that supply and demand takes a while to show itself. Yeah, because some people are asking, why after halving itself, Bitcoin price didn't go up? So I think right after halving, when the price started dropping, some people started texting me. They say, the price didn't go up. I think already gone already. Is it? Can or not? Like that. Yeah, and I mean, over the past few weeks, I've been saying that I think the price is going to go down a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somehow, if you look at the chart, the sentiment is there, right?
Mm.
Now, my point is this. Although the supply is already cut into half, right? The demand. You're talking about half supply gone in a very fast period of time.
Immediately.
Happened just like that, right? Yeah. Now, however, did the demand go up immediately within one day?
It will take time.
It takes time, right?
Correct.
Now, number two, because today people are smarter, more people actually acknowledge the fact that cryptocurrency is an interesting asset to hold. And people already started accumulating before the halving, right? Now, so some are saying, Or does it mean that the price hike already ended already? It means that it's not going to go into the next all-time high. This is the all-time high for the next 1 year, 2 years.
Mm.
Now, okay, this is my personal opinion. Okay, if you're only looking at this, then you are specifically what we call a speculator. Mm. You're not looking at the long term of when someone is trying to invest in a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin.
Mm.
Now, when someone is investing in a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin over a long-term fundamental approach, is the fact that you believe it's not just about halving, but about the relative of this asset compared to others. Like, for example, the lack of confidence in other currencies. And we are seeing this playing out even more in the last 2 years, right? More and more currency in the world are devaluing significantly, right?
Yep.
Significantly. And because it was devalued significantly, a lot of things that assets in that country doesn't really matter. Because imagine, you can say land is the most important thing, right? But does it matter to you if today you own a piece of land in Afghanistan?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, who's going to buy? It's a warring place, yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah. So that's all that matters in that sense. So what people want to do is that they want to hold assets that's in another country. Now, think about it this way. Okay? If let's say today you are a Russian, right? You are Russian. And if you own asset in America, the government has the right to take it back from you.
Mm, sanction you.
Yeah, sanction you.
Mm.
Right? Yeah, so it doesn't matter. Whatever you own doesn't matter anymore. Right? Now, Bitcoin are the very few assets. Bitcoin is an asset that has no censorship. Government cannot say, hey, you own the Bitcoin, huh? Yeah, we're going to take back. No such thing. No such thing. You have full right to your own asset. That is how it works.
Yeah. Whether this is good or bad, this is a story for another time. But the point here is that nobody can actually seize your asset, and therefore there's a value in this kind of decentralization.
That's right. Yeah. So definitely, we are not endorsing a war or like a different kind of parties. That's not the point. The point is that you have the right to own your asset, and this part doesn't have any government interference that makes it attractive. So my point is that if you want to understand why people say that it's going to go up higher in future, is the overall idea of what the attractiveness of this asset as an asset class itself.
Mm.
Now, so if you're looking at whether is there still a chance, I wouldn't say there is or there isn't, because we shouldn't be giving you investment advice.
Yep.
Yeah, but those are the real reason, not just having a loan.
Yep.
Having a loan shouldn't be a reason itself. So if you are one of those person who say, oh, right after having it, the market dropped, right? So, this is a lousy asset, right? You did not come in as an investor, but you came in as a speculator.
Mm.
Yeah. Then it doesn't really matter whether today you're investing in cryptocurrency or whether you're investing in Bitcoin or some sort of a meme coin, or you can go and create your own Anwar coin for all I care. There is not too much of difference in that sense, right? Because you're just being a speculator.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just that this particular asset class has more easier way of gathering volatility in the market to create that momentum for trade.
Yes.
That's pretty much about it.
Yep.
Yeah. So I guess that's the whole idea of crypto at this point.
Rizwan here say that there are some theories that the lackluster reception for the ETFs in Hong Kong played a part. I agree to disagree to a certain extent. Now, why I say that is because you see, when the US launched the spot Bitcoin ETF back in January, and US being the world's market, right? Everybody would trade in the US. So when they come up with such a sexy asset to trade in the market, everyone would just rush into it. That's why you see they have, like, I think if I'm not mistaken, about $4 billion just plow into this new asset class within 1 month or something like that, if I remember correctly. Now come to Hong Kong, right? Hong Kong just launched their ETF back on the 30th of April. If you think about it, number one, China banned cryptocurrencies, right? So while Bitcoin ETF and Ethereum ETF started trading in Hong Kong, you have the largest supporter not able to buy this asset class. That is number one. And number two, a lot of people who wanted to have a position in this ETF would somehow find their ways to go into the US market. Like us, we keep promoting M Plus Global, right? Mm. So with the M Plus Global account, you can also actually buy Bitcoin ETF using M Plus Global account because it gives you direct access to the US market. So suddenly, Hong Kong comes out with their own product. Yes, I may take a look at it, but if I already invested in the US, there's not much motivation for me to also invest in Hong Kong unless you are institutional investors who do not have the mandate to invest in the US in the past, but you got mandate to invest in Hong Kong one.
That's right.
Then suddenly when Hong Kong open up, then you are now able to buy. So in that sense, right, it is sort of expected that the demand, or rather the hype for the Hong Kong ETF will not be as great as the US counterpart. But nonetheless, it is still quite respectable because within a couple of days, they managed to bring in, I think, $20 or $30 million worth of new money going into ETFs.
Because I think what happened is that people are comparing it with the US one.
Correct. How to compare?
How to compare? Like, hey, they are BB. Sometimes, this is what I say, although we're in media, don't believe everything media say.
Correct. That's true.
Yeah. You know, to put it out there, right, to tell you that Hong Kong lackluster, it's actually part of a way of writing to gain more clicks.
Correct.
If I tell you, right, Hong Kong actually not around, bad. Right?
Actually, not bad. Within one day, like 10 million, 20 million come in.
Yeah.
Then it will change the whole narrative.
Yeah,
right?
So like, don't listen so much. Look at facts itself. And let's not forget, Hong Kong itself as a zone where it's supposed to be the top financial hub. It's already losing its position.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's not like last time. Now, however, if you say this particular ETF is in Singapore, then maybe it carries a little bit more weight in that sense because money is still there. But on the other hand, most Singaporeans already invest in the US one.
Maybe also.
And Singapore itself has such an open policy towards cryptocurrencies,
right?
So I don't think they are like, oh, if you don't have ETF, can't invest in it, that kind of thing. Yeah, so... the point that I want to make is if you're comparing everything into the US market, you're definitely not going to see a very, very good performance.
Everything will be small if you compare to the US.
That's right, yeah. So they're asking this question, right, ultimately, is that do you think that cryptocurrency will continue dropping? So what do you think is the lowest possible price?
I feel somewhere around this level is the lowest already. Because right now, why I say that is because, number one, a lot of all these Bitcoin catalysts already materialized. Halving, finish. US ETF, finish. Hong Kong ETF, finish. There's no more good news already. But even without the good news and price started to fall, right, you can see at this level, it's a good support. Whenever it tries to go down lower, it will somehow comes back up. You will have new demand come and push it back out to around 55,000-56,000 like that. So I feel if it continues to consolidate at this level long enough, then I feel this is the new floor for this asset class.
Right.
I don't think it will go down further.
Now, in my opinion, I also don't think it's going to go down further. However, I'm also prepared that it goes down to 52 or 50 lah. But that's pretty much about it. Now, why do I say so? It's because let's not forget the fact that before 50 itself, there wasn't a lot of hype around it. It was still like people weren't even, like people hear crypto. Remember the time when we did an episode that has anything to do with Bitcoin, no one bothers?
In fact,
the audience are lesser.
We're talking
about 60 people watching, you know, let's say if we were to talk about Bitcoin at the point, right? Now, that's one. Number two is that I think at this point, what happened is that the kind of liquidation you are seeing is generally people who are speculating. You are talking about liquidation of speculations, leverage long position, you know, things like that. I think number two that you have to understand is that ever since the last crypto winter, whoever that's left over are basically the real believers.
The hodlers.
The hodlers. People will just hold. Right, they're not going to sell. They're just going to keep hodling. People would rather take up credit card debts or whatever debts they can instead of selling their coins. I mean, you're really talking about people like they are people like that, right? What happened is that you are looking at this place as a floor price already to a certain extent. And definitely the chart also tells you that. The first resistance that we are at is actually 58. Yeah, and then next down here will be actually 52. That's the kind of level that we are looking at. Yeah, and in my opinion, in my overall experience of investing, whether it's in stock market or crypto, usually you see the price consolidate, and once it shoots up within a few hours or a day. Yeah, it doesn't... Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, so everything have to cool down a bit, put it this way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, we are all agreeing that, you know, 52, 58, 55, that is sort of like a kind of solid...
Yeah, me and you. Not all, me and you.
Yeah, kind of solid support area. But what if it breaks their support and go down? What do you think it will go down to? Or do you think
52?
No, if it falls below 52, do you think that's the end of Bitcoin or...
No, it still won't be the end.
Oh, okay.
It will be... But it will require some crazy black swan event. Like in the world kind of black swan event kind of stuff. But I doubt. Even if it does, I don't think it's the end though. Yeah. I mean, based on existing information.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, unless you tell me for one reason that I think that is going to be a problem. Okay. Suddenly the world no more internet.
This is highly unlikely.
Correct.
This is
highly unlikely. Unless you're telling me suddenly we have a war or something like that leads to no connectivity. Yeah. And there is a possible future where we are not going to leave the internet. Okay. Yes. I think that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when I ask you the question, I kind of have one reason for it to fall below 52,000. But I immediately contradict myself and say, no, it may not happen. Is that if government suddenly ban Bitcoin,
then
but I immediately strike that reason off.
Correct.
The reason being they just approve the ETF back in January, takkan in June then they just cut it off. Right? Yeah.
No, not just that. It was always banned.
Ah, that's true.
It just got approved, right?
Yeah. It's just
So
always banned.
Okay. What's the difference, right? In a sense.
Yeah. No difference.
What's the difference? Yeah. So that's mainly a thing. Now nonetheless, I would like to highlight what Rizwan say, DCA for Bitcoin is the way. Yes, I totally believe in that. For me, I'm a DCA guy. Just go with dollar cost averaging, don't care. If you can put in 100, 20, doesn't really matter. Just slowly accumulate from there. No need to time the market like crazy. After 3 years, you will see the result. You're going to be a very, very happy man.
I don't do that, but I have to agree that is a very good approach. Yeah. So you don't need to time the market.
That's right. Yeah. Although I got nothing to shout with in my first year of talking about it, when early days, Frankie trade a lot. He'll tell me, every day I make how much, right? Like that are very boring, but
I still do that.
But after 3 years, it's like, as far as I'm concerned, the accumulated numbers is great for me, right?
True.
So that's
but how it works. Since you're on the topic of DCA, right, I have a great offer for you guys to start to DCA your crypto assets. So if you open a tokenized account and if you click on the link below, which I think our friend will put out the link for us, you key in the promo code MMTV1. You don't need to do anything. You just need to go through the entire KYC process, know your client process. Once your account is being approved, you'll get 30 ringgit to start your cryptocurrency journey. Then from there, you can use the account to start to do your DCA approach. On top of that, after you buy all these assets ready, right, we all always say that internet may not be the safest place for you to keep your Bitcoin and whatnot. So for me, and I think for you also, most of our crypto assets are actually stored in...
Cold wallet,
correct. So cold wallet is disconnected from the internet. Is whenever you want to do any transactions, that only you plug it into your laptop and do your transaction. After that, you straight away pull it out so that people cannot access to your wallet.
That's right.
So we also have a core wallet offer for you guys, and it's very interesting.
Not us. Tokenize.
Tokenize.
We're just helping them promote.
Correct. We are helping them to promote. So Tokenize has a collaboration with CryptoBilis to come out with their collaborative core wallet. It's only 299 ringgit, but this is the best part. You pay 299 ringgit, right? But they give you back 145 ringgit worth of Bitcoin.
Yep.
If you use the code MMTV1 as well, or if you can sign up through the link, which the guys will put up the link over there as well. So if you think about it, right? You open a tokenized account, you get 30 ringgit. then you pay 299, you get 145 ringgit.
So you got 175 ringgit worth of Bitcoin.
Correct, and you get your own cold wallet.
Mm.
Yeah, and today the Bitcoin price is around like 59,000 or something, right? Time. So with the 145 ringgit, you actually get more Bitcoin.
Oh yeah, yeah.
More
yeah.
Bitcoin than ever. So I feel this is the
perfect timing to get
start,
it.
To start, yeah. To start and then to build your own DCA habit.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So you're gonna check out the link in the description, right? Now, another thing, since we are talking so much about cryptocurrency, right? I think maybe it's time that we move on to the markets as well.
Yes.
Right. Now, for those of you who are interested in investing in Bitcoin, but you're not really thinking about investing in an asset, there's a particular leverage trade that you can do, or leverage accumulation.
Mm?
It's called MicroStrategy.
Oh, yeah. I have that.
Frankie's favorite.
But currently losing money like that one.
Yeah, leverage.
Yeah, leverage.
So memang automatically, but there's no margin call lah. The good thing is, it's almost about 5 times or so, right?
I didn't look at it recently, but yeah, around
there, right? Around there. So instead of risking your account with a margin call, you can also choose to play with MicroStrategy.
Yeah. But so, this is not investment advice.
Not investment advice.
Do your own research and ask your financial advisor.
That's right. And if you want to have kind of like, you know, some money there, you can always open an M Plus account.
Mm.
Yeah. So definitely M Plus. Why we say M Plus this time around, not Mumu, is because under M Plus, you get
5 free Grab shares if you deposit 2,000 ringgit into the account.
That's right.
Okay. The thing about M Plus promo that we do, the free shares, all the things, right? It's carefully curated by us, one. Right?
So are we allowed to say that?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, we can. Because different people will have different offers. So our offer is we discuss with M Plus and we think that these are good things for our audience. So therefore we
But it's not collaborate. It's not a buy recommendation.
Correct.
Okay?
It's not a buy recommendation. In fact, it is given free.
Yeah,
free to the audience who deposit 2,000 ringgit into their
That's
account.
Right. And you get 5 free Apple share. I think, no. 5 free Grab shares. When we were looking at Grab, that time was how much?
It was $3.20.
Now it's 3.5, right?
I think it's around.
It's about 3.5 already.
Yeah, it has gone up quite a lot already.
Quite a bit already, right? Yeah. So, although we
today is about 350.
So I remember when we first looked at Grab shares, was when they start turning profit.
Their first profit. And on top of that, they also just launched GX Bank.
Yes. I remember the time what happened is that we were sitting outside and then suddenly one of our friends actually just said, "Oh, Grab just turned profit." Boom! We just like, okay, settle.
That's what I want.
Yeah. So this is one of those classic scenario, just like Tesla, when they first turned profit.
Mm.
Yeah, and then I was like, okay.
Correct.
That is where things are going to begin. Yeah.
Mm.
Definitely, you have to also understand the business model of Grab. The business model of Grab works only when you get enough market share.
Mm.
And that's their gameplay, right? And if they come to a point where they get enough market share and start turning profitable, this means that their theory is, their hypothesis of the business is correct. That I will turn profitable when I'm big enough. That's what they say, man.
Yep.
Yeah, because previously, everyone was like, how big is big enough?
Mm.
Yeah, and now suddenly they turn profit. Okay, whether adjusted or not, doesn't matter, right? How good is the adjustment, doesn't matter. But at least you can adjust until you turn profit. Now, definitely this is the most still considered risky time.
Yes.
But if you're talking about 3 quarters consecutively, they can.
Yep.
That's telling you something.
Correct. So going forward, it will be exciting for you to keep track on Grab earnings as well.
That's right. Mm. That's right. Our very first Malaysian turned Singaporean unicorn, right?
Enlisted in the US.
International company, truly.
Yeah.
No, the stock market itself has been going through quite a volatile period as well.
The stock market is quite crazy, man, this week. We have seen companies reporting great results, but the share price fall by 10%.
Correct.
15%. Yeah, we're talking about your favorite stock, by the way. Yeah, whether you invest or not, I don't know, but it's your favorite company to talk.
Correct. Yeah. Because I think ever since it dropped, that has been kind of like the performance. Where whenever you announce a good result, it will just drop. And it will only start going up when other players are less sexy. It's kind of like, like we see this company doing quite well financially. You see all the numbers are all betul. But then there are other people that fits into the game in a more sexy manner, right? Like for example, let's say AI or whatnot, there's certain themes, right? Then people, whoa, clamor around it. Then they lose money also, they throw their money in.
Yeah.
Then after about 3-4 quarters, they get disappointed already. Then okay, whatever, I threw my money back here. Yeah. So fundamental, so far, in the long run, always win, right?
Correct. Correct. But I think this time around, this company tries to be a little bit more sexy. And I think the market didn't like it to be sexy. Because if you think about it, right, this company, their 98% of the profit comes from advertising.
That's right. We are talking about Meta.
Yeah. We are talking about Meta, Facebook. So 98% of the profit comes from advertising. So everyone was expecting Mark Zuckerberg to talk about advertising. Where is it heading to? You know, how exciting it is? Where is your new clients coming from? And things like that. But instead, he went to talk about all the things that he used to burn money before in the past. Again, he talked about metaverse. He talked about all these glasses, you know, all these AI stuff and things like that, which until today, it is not making money, but instead it is burning a lot of money. So the market didn't like that, and therefore that's what happened. Sometimes trying to be too sexy also must be careful.
That's right. But in my opinion, I think he is trying to future-proof the company.
That's true.
And as an entrepreneur, I see it as great effort to future-proof the company. And he's doing it in a very balanced manner. Where he is still focusing on the main business to make money. And the main business is profitable. And they're trying to future-proof it.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, that is actually a great thing. However, I do not know why that investors don't think of it like that. Maybe because I never handle multi-million and billion dollar before. But the facts is...
Sometimes it's very hard to gauge what the market wants also. So you can test the market. So maybe Mark Zuckerberg this time learned his lesson that, maybe next time don't talk too much.
Tesla lose money? Okay.
Tesla is another very, very exciting story for the week. So as we all know, Tesla is not doing very well, you know. They face stiff competition from BYD.
Starting to drop price.
Things like that. Share price has been going down. But when they announce their result, which is very bad, but the share price jumped up like 10-20% again. And that's also because of what Elon Musk said in the market. So basically, he is trying to make the company look a little bit sexier this time around and say that whatever I plan for the future, right, I'm going to fast forward it. So by 2025, you're going to see new cars, affordable cars. I'm going to build a cyber cab, you know, this kind of stuff, which excites the market.
Yeah.
So that's why even though the result is bad, but Tesla price,
it's okay, man.
So powerful.
You talk about it. People love it, yo. You think about it, it's a very different breed, you know, to a certain extent. The day I was thinking about this one thing, you know, Tesla price just dropped in Malaysia as well. They just reduced the price
by 8,000, right?
Okay, you think about it, if today you bought a Toyota, a Vios, after you buy 3 weeks, right, the price dropped 10K.
I will hate Toyota, man.
You hate Toyota, right?
Yeah.
Do you see online what's the response of everyone?
No.
All the Tesla owners, you know what they say?
They say, good job.
Good job. You all should buy a Tesla now. Price drop already.
Oh.
I tell you, don't estimate the power of brand, bro.
Wow. I didn't see that coming.
I thought everyone's going to curse. Because I told you I bought a Peugeot last time. And then within 3 months, they dropped their price and they dropped 30,000. My car worth shit, put it this way. I thought people are going to curse. No. People so happy today. All the Tesla users, most of it, there are some people complain, but most of it very happy. Tesla drop price, you all should buy Tesla. I'm like, wow. You just bought one more expensive, right? I'm just supposed to be angry because when you sell it, they don't see that. Maybe that's why also the price.
Maybe it's the network effect. Because it's like iPhone, right? When you have a lot of iPhones around you, it actually creates that, what you call it, the geolocation mapping for you more accurately. So maybe the Tesla community hopes that when you have more Tesla on the road, it can also help to map that thing better so that their car can be more
Correct.
More smarter.
Now, so if you think about it, right, Tesla's concept, like if you listen to this particular interview by Kevin O'Leary, where he said that he did not believe in Tesla, but his son went and worked there, they was telling him, how can a car company being evaluated this way? He said, no, Dad, you do not know what they are actually really doing. Now to think about it, right, they say that they are a tech company. Tesla has always said this, I'm not a car company, I'm a tech company, right? And even in Elon Musk's speech, it's all about trying to create that self-driving, right? Self-driving function, right? And if you think about it, it could be true. And it actually, to a certain extent, is true, okay? You see, what he wanted to build is actually a software, right? A tech that at this very moment, no one does it yet, right? So, but in order for you to build the software, you need hardware. There's no hardware, no software. Think about it. Software don't exist by itself. So he need to build the hardware to make the software. If you think about that perspective, it's true, no?
Yep.
Because in the past, if you look at Microsoft, all this, if you think about Microsoft, how Microsoft worked was, he saw that there's a boom in the PC and he created software for it. Right? It wasn't his product. But what did Apple do?
They come up with their own hardware.
Apple came up with the hardware.
And the software.
But why? His point is not the hardware. If you think about it, Steve Jobs said this one thing. He said this one thing. A lot of people who think about technology came from the perspective of looking at these are great tech today. Because people question him in a conference, say, why are you so stupid? You go and make all this kind of thing. You should have just focused on doing your part, right? You are dumb, tell him. He say, a lot of people who are technical guys come together and say, oh, this is the best piece of technology that we can find. And they try to think about all the things based on this tech. Like we have the fastest processing, blah, 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 blah. Then he said this one thing, but that is meaningless to normal people. If you are good, you should be thinking of user experience. If you start from the user experience point of view, that is what matters. And it's true. So he ended up building his hardware, but then he makes sure that his software is customized towards the hardware, right? So that everything works in one. And what he was trying to build is an ecosystem. It's a user experience. It was never about the hardware or software or anything. It's just purely human experience, how you use that whole damn thing, right? Now, if you think about it this way, that's what Tesla is trying to do.
That's
what he say lah. Anyway, if you think about it, there were multiple interviews, or there was this one famous interview when someone asked him, who do you see as a competitor? He said Apple.
Yeah, but the good thing is Apple abandoned their car project lah. That's one. But I think there's one more catalyst for Tesla, right? Is that they finally got some sort of agreement with China to allow them to do self-driving there. So I think with that, they are going to be in the forefront in terms of technology when they want to fight with all the BYDs and all the Great Wall and all the other car makers in China from now on. Because they have this self-driving technology and now their partner is also powerful, you know, is Baidu, you know.
Ooh.
So Baidu can provide all the mapping and the navigation to the car, and the car can use its self-driving technology to drive around.
Wow.
Yeah, in China, you know.
That also shows us one thing. How desperate is China's economy?
That's true also.
Right? Yeah, previously they were really... because China has this very interesting situation right now. If you were to read The Economist quite a bit, then you will see that there's this particular section dedicated towards it called the Drum Tower, right? What they're talking about is how China is basically working right now. China is in this weird limbo, right? A lot of the companies that are undervaluated, but the market is right? Simply because too much of government interference. Xi Jinping, on the other hand, is trying to help to boost China economy, but at the same time, he's also taking on an approach that tells people you must be careful that the Westerners are spies. Yeah, but at the same time, he's also welcoming towards Westerners. So there's this whole question right now on where China is sitting, and the fact that China allowing, you know,
Tesla
to actually work together, definitely there's an anticipated move because they need foreign investments, and they've always been very open to allow knowledge transfer to go into their country. Now, definitely, there's a lot of questions about corporate spy, blah, 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 that kind of things. But I think it's good for Tesla because Tesla has always taken on this approach, which is it's an open source.
Oh.
Like their designs of everything is actually open.
Oh, really?
They don't hide.
Oh.
They tell you, you know why?
Why?
She said this one thing. If you want copy, you copy lah. You copy it, then we can make it better again.
Oh.
That's how we should work together, ma.
That's true.
The power, right? The blur. He's not like, hey, we don't tell people how we make it, okay? So okay lah. That's why to a certain extent, Charlie Munger, Warren Buffett, all these also say this one thing. While we may not buy his stock, we will not bet against him.
So they went to buy BYD.
Don't bet against him. Just work alongside with his competitors.
So go and buy BYD.
That's why BYD is a car company. It's not a tech company, not crazy enough. You need to be as crazy as him.
Yeah, that guy really crazy. Do you know the new cyber cap? The new cyber cap system, right? Is such that let's say you own a Tesla and you are not driving 24 hours a day, right? Probably you just drive your car from your house to the office. You'll park it there for a good 5, 8, 10 hours. Then only you drive the car back home.
Mm.
During this period of time, your car is idle sitting in the parking lot.
That's right.
What you can do with the cyber cab, right, is to deploy your car to become a driverless cab and drive around and earn money for you, no?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Wow.
That is the power of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, wow. Like that also you can think about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's been talking about that for quite long already.
Finally, it is coming.
Yeah. He need the driverless, what's it called already? Automated driving. Yeah.
Autonomous driving.
Yes. Level four, right? Level four or something like that one. Yeah, I can't remember already. Yeah, but basically, that's the thing, right? So as you can see, I don't go and every day look at Tesla news, okay? Yeah, although I do hold their stocks, but I don't go and like every day go and like try to trade it. Yeah, because I'm not a trader, lah. Mainly that's the case, lah. And if I don't see any great fundamental difference, I generally just leave it be. Yeah, and some of the things that I think is going to play out sometime, then it's going to play out sometime.
Yep.
Right? For example, autonomous driving. I think it's one of those technology that will take a while to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting also to see that Apple is pulling out of the race. Yeah, which makes me wonder how strong is Apple. Yeah, the reason being is because I'm trying to think. You know, if Steve Jobs was there,
maybe he would push it through, right?
How would it have been, right?
Mm.
Then on the other hand, also is that would it be part of the thing that he wanted? That's one thing. Now, and the question about what is Apple's real mode to a certain extent?
If you think about it, Apple is losing their mode, especially in Europe. The European government is trying to break out Apple's ecosystem. One, you cannot use lightning cable anymore. Then now Spotify filed a complaint to say that how can you just allow Apple Music, you should also allow other platforms to for your customers to choose also. So slowly they are losing that mode. I feel eventually they will just become another tech company. Then they may need to find something else to protect the brand.
But I don't think so, you know. Because while I think that they may lose their mode, but not exactly lose as in lose, but their mode will kind of like evolve in my opinion.
Correct.
Because they still own the Mac OS. And the OS is still the thing, right? I mean, you think about it, right? Are you really using Safari on your MacBook?
I don't.
I use Google Chrome, bro.
Yeah, I use Google Chrome.
But I still buy Mac.
Mm.
I still buy Mac laptop. On my Mac OS, irregardless, most of the things that I'm using is like Spotify, you know, and all this. Yeah. Now, however, my thoughts of it is it will become more and more of a defensive stock. It will become, you know, instead of looking at high growth, you're looking at it being more and more defensive. Yeah. That's my personal thought.
Like a year in, year out, there's a certain level of profit and then maybe they will start declaring a certain percentage of dividend, that kind.
No. So the danger is this.
Mm.
say today, I don't think they're going to face any dangers because number one, their war chest is very big. Number two, the way we interact with technology remains pretty much the same. Now, what do I mean by interacting with technology is pretty much the same? We are still using a gadget like this.
Oh, but this is going to change with the Vision Pro and all that, right?
That's right. Now, so if you're talking about interaction with gadgets in lifestyle, yeah, they are still king. Vision Pro is still there. If you're starting to see a lot of like, you know, like videos that talk about how people interact with Vision Pro. I mean, I feel like getting one myself, man. Yeah, we are kind of like finding whatever reason we can just to get one to say that we're going to experiment a new product or not, right? Because it's so cool, right? Yeah, but you think about it, right? The next level thing to interact, it is still there. It is still them. So I really don't see where the danger is unless it gets disrupted entirely. Like, for example...
Meta.
Not saying Meta, but like... We are talking about, like, let's say we don't use laptop anymore. And we don't even... It will be something that we can't even think about. It has to be a technology that we can't think about. What do I mean by that, right? It's like...
I get what you mean. Like the neural chip that Elon Musk is trying to develop and plant it into your brain. That's right.
It's kind of like, remember those Nokia days?
Correct.
You will never think about someone using a phone this way. That kind. Like, so it's like really things that I cannot think about. So I got no answer to that except I cannot think about. Yeah, so like neural chip will be the... Probably the only thing that I cannot think about at this point.
Yeah.
So if that replaces computer or replaces how we interact with gadgets, then yeah, I think there could be... Because as long as there's no new product category in that sense, right? I doubt they'll get disrupted. They'll just become more and more defensive. Yeah. So that's my opinion in terms of stock market. Yep. Now, nonetheless, it still comes out of this question, right? I think we are sitting on a juncture where you need to start redefining your investment philosophies and what do you see as important in order to make money in the next 10 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I notice these days, the business models are very, very different from the past. In the past, right, the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s and all that, when company comes out with a new product, they will go through many, many rounds of testings, make sure that it is a good product, it is workable, then they launch. Then when they launch big. But I notice these days, right, the modern company, so to speak, right, what they do is they build what we call a minimum viable product. Means as long as this product can work, it serves a function, okay, let's test the market. And then we improve from there. Then what happened is that when you launch it, yes, it works, but because it is a minimum viable product, it's minimum. So therefore, you don't know what kind of problems may arise. So if you notice, there are a lot of all these new gadgets, right? Yeah, it looks cool. It is groundbreaking and all that, but it also has a lot of problems, a lot of maybe technical problems, maybe software problems. Yeah. Things like that, which may create a very big hype and then suddenly it just boom, drop, finish, close, right? Yeah, I see a lot of these kind of business models popping up, especially in recent years. And as a result, stock markets also behave like this as well. When a company launched a new product, or it's a minimum viable product, it got hyped up, share price just pumped, and then when it loses its credibility and all that, suddenly you just don't hear about all these companies anymore, especially a lot of Silicon Valley new startups. A lot of them, they are like that. Yeah, so sometimes, yeah, so again, coming back to investment philosophy, right, sometimes we need to be mindful about all these new products, how they are being marketed today, and then see from there whether we can see a potential of these products being sustainable in the market in the long term, and then from there you judge and see whether this is a good investment or not.
Right. Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things that we see a lot, MVP, right? But having said that, if you look at Apple used to be we only launch things when it's perfect.
Yeah, Apple
used to do that. Yeah. So I guess the market is in such a way, right, where everyone tried to go for MVP, they go for the other way around. So you're contrarian, you're something new in that sense, right? Yeah. But Totally agree. Being a startup guy, I think MVP is something that's a good for.
It's a good way to start.
Yeah, good for business owners. Yeah.
Good way to start, but we need to continue to improve, lah.
That's right. Yeah. So that's all about it. Now the question is this: can we still make money in this market? Now I already gave my answer. I think that we are sitting in this place where. Yeah, you definitely can make money, but if you're taking a look at making big money, right, I think we are sitting at a position where you have to really well position yourself for the next 5 years to 6 years.
Mm.
And if you position yourself well enough, you will be making big money.
Yep.
Yeah, but if you do not position yourself well enough, then it's just like that.
Okay, so totally agree with that. But if you think that the market is not going to do well and all that, actually, people can make money from bull market. People can also make money from a bear market. The most straightforward way is by trading futures, right? Because futures is one asset class where you can trade against the market. You can short it first, and then when it drops, and then you buy back at the low. That's how you make a profit. Right, so if you guys are thinking about futures trading, you can check out RHB Futures as well. They also have great offers. You get 500 ringgit free buy brokerage. How do I say it? Okay, you get 500 ringgit free on your buy orders. Yes, that's how you say it.
I see. Yeah. But having said that, I think we're going to be interviewing a futures trader soon.
Yes.
Those of you who are interested in understanding how it works to be a full-time trader, we have decided to interview one to give you a taste of it.
Yeah, stay tuned to Mr. Money TV. It will be posted on that channel very, very soon.
That's right. So now, let us open the time for Q&A for everyone. If you have any questions, please share with us in the comments and we'll pick a few out so that we can answer it for tonight.
Yes, let me take this one first from Valuable Tips. Have you guys thought of hosting a full FAQ podcast? Don't need a lot of preparation and able to answer your audience needs. Actually, we do have a FAQ podcast and it's called the FAQ Show. So go to Spotify to check that out. Yes.
No, I think what he meant is really like
this AMA. Kind. This AMA. Kind. Yeah, oh, okay.
I think that's what he meant.
Yeah. Okay. Good point there.
Maybe you can.
Yes.
Why not, right?
Why not?
No. Nonetheless, do check out the FAQ Show, right?
Yeah. We are on Spotify, we are on YouTube, we are on all the social media.
Do you think we should like make a more investment related podcast on that site? On like FAQ, on the FAQ brand?
What do you guys think, man?
And then maybe like Mr. Money here, we can start touching a bit more about lifestyle. Because there's also a lot of people after the episode last week, right?
Yeah.
Where we talk about
our wives,
you know, marriage and money and relationship. A lot of people actually texted us, take the effort to actually come and tell us, actually we want more of that content. But when we look at the numbers, it's not that many.
Correct.
So we really have a question on like whether should we talk about things that are more relevant, like how to raise a kid, like in our opinion, like should we buy a house, should we not buy a house? Not so much of an investment, but more like really relationship, lifestyle, things that matters on how we make decisions. Should we send your kids to private school or local school? What's the financial implication? How do we weigh whether is it worth it or not, right? That kind of thing, yeah? But I guess to ask that in this topic also may not be very fair, because people listen to this.
Correct, because this is about making money, right?
Yeah, I guess there are some local, there are some loyal viewers who will watch every single episode regardless. So please share with us, what do you guys think, right? So we will consider that.
Yep. Okay, let's look at other questions.
Is Ethereum a security? What's your take?
I really don't want to speculate this. I will just leave it to the authorities to decide.
Authorities decide lah. But in my opinion, not really lah. But I've never really seen crypto as a. I mean, think about it.
It's more like a commodity.
It's called cryptocurrency. What's currency?
A commodity.
Yeah. So that's supposed to be the nature, right? Yeah. Now, can you invest in Bitcoin profitable for long term by 2030?
6 years later.
I have to say, that's the reason we are in. So can you or not, I don't know, but that's the reason we are in for. Yeah. Yeah. This one is a good one. Will the Magnificent Seven still be the next Magnificent Seven in the next year?
Well, if you think about it, 15, 20 years ago, the top seven companies on S&P 500 is definitely not these seven companies. So if these seven companies don't improve and keep themselves relevant, I'm sure 20, 30 years later, there will be another set of Magnificent
That's
Seven.
Right, yeah. I think some of the seven also changed even the last few years.
Correct.
There were the stable top two, right? Mm. Yeah. But it kind of like stop out a little bit. Yep. Yeah. Okay. So Adrian asked, what core wallet would you suggest? I think the big brands. Yeah, go for like Trezor, go for like what's the name again?
Ledger.
Like, yes. Yeah. And my suggestion is always buy direct.
Oh yes, definitely don't buy from Shopee, Lazada, that kind. Because you never know whether they open up and...
I don't know anyone here who's a Lazada, Shopee seller. It's just that if my personal opinion, I wouldn't buy. That's all.
Yeah,
I will...
Correct.
I will always buy for the from the direct source.
Correct.
That's me being me, okay?
Yes.
Okay, so Flying Malaysian said yes to more family-related content. However, there's one guy there also said that more investment, please. Yeah, there's a Lily99. Maybe it's a guy or girl. Jim Wong asked, what's your expectation on the coming Palantir quarterly report?
how to take this question? Now, I'm not going to speculate how they are doing, but based on what they have guided, 2024 will be a great year. So hopefully when the result comes out, it will reflect that. If it doesn't, then it will be ugly.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Okay. Yeah. So, Marcus said, after listening to the last podcast about financial discussion with your spouse, I took the courage to discuss with my wife. The whole process was very awkward, but definitely a must. Congratulations, Marcus, for taking the first step to talk to your wife. I think, I'll be honest, actually some of these kind of comments are what makes me very happy. Mm. Although I would say that the viewership for it is not very high.
Mm.
Yes, it's very awkward. I just want to encourage you to keep talking, and as you talk to her about it, remember, set the ego aside. Tell her how you feel. Tell her what you expect, especially if you're going to be talking about something hard, right? Tell her upfront that when I share with you this, the kind of reaction I need from you is ABCD. And if you respond in EFGH, I may think like that. Be very honest about it so that she also can prep her emotion. Because if not, right, sometimes imagine you say, actually I've been overspending on nasi lemak, you know. Then you're like, oh, you looked at me. then avoid it, lor, right? At least you can say, I want to tell you something that's very bizarre and weird, it's personal to me. But the kind of response that I want from you is something that's comforting, because I may feel quite humiliated. I don't care what you think, but if you can do that for me, you know, it will be great, right? They say, oh, I overspent on nasi lemak. Then maybe she'll be like, they say, so what do you think? Then she know you need comfort, but then, like, can you judge me later? Like, that kind of thing, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I do that with my wife. Yeah.
Mm.
Now, the point that I want to say is that I know this kind of comment make a very, very deep impact in people's life. This kind of things makes great impact. Compared to those of you who, not to say it doesn't make great impact, like compared to those of you who keep asking us about which stock will go up, right? Because let's put it this way, money always come and go. But this kind of thing stays. So the other day I was playing golf, right? There was someone that I met who shared with me also after watching some of our episode talking about relationship. It actually changed his perspective and helped him to build a closer relationship with his spouse. And I felt that these are great things, because in a way, right, you gave the family a shot instead of having a quarrelsome family or something like that. So I guess in my own biasness, I kind of like that. Although it may not impact a huge community, but to those little lives that we made an impact on, I feel like it's very, very meaningful. Yeah.
And they will also help their friends and family around them to be like that as well. So
that's
actually,
right.
it it will spill over to many, many other people.
And I feel like in the end, it makes a better Malaysia. That's very far-fetched. But happy kids, you know, tend to live happier, more confident. Therefore, they will likely earn more money. And then, but it's a far-fetched idea. Anyway, let's move on to the next one. Mm. Is it possible for Fed to hike interest rate, consider inflation is sticky? There's some talks about this possibility. What are your thoughts?
But if I'm not mistaken, I think the Fed also ruled out the possibility that they are going to hike interest rate. I think they are quite comfortable with this rate. So I think at most, they will just keep it at this level until they feel that it's ready to cut, then they will cut.
Now, my personal thought is chances are low.
Unless, again, there's a black swan event. Like suddenly inflation jump up to like 50%. Oh, then for sure it's
That's a different story. Okay, now what are your thoughts about Anwar's announcement of 13% hike of civil servant salary? This one I got a lot of opinion. I plan to do one whole episode about it. But what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, it's definitely going to have big impact in Malaysia because the government is the largest employer in Malaysia. So when you announce something like this, right, 13% hike to civil servant salary, right, you are impacting a large number amount of employees in Malaysia. So definitely got impact. Many people will be happy. But the implication of it is a different story. You know, where to find this 13% to pay people. Is the productivity improved? You know, there are a lot of things to discuss after that. But in terms of monetary and statistics, you'll get more money. Many people will be happy.
Yeah, I think it's a happy news for all the civil servants, for sure. Yeah. But is it necessary for all the civil servants? I don't think so. Yeah, I think there are a group of civil servants who likely don't really need this pay hike. But there is a large group of civil servants who are living under minimum wage. On the other hand, there's also a concern about how will this affect the bottom line in terms of effectiveness and efficiency. Now, think about it this way. I have met many civil servants who are just treating their main job as a part-time as well. So for those people, is it going to change the way they behave? No, I doubt, right? And our government recently had to come up with an announcement to say that all the government bodies should keep all your counters active. Can you imagine how much of a joke is that? I mean, every time when you look at a government building, right? They go and renovate, extra 10 counter, but only 2 operating.
Yeah.
That's a very common thing. Even at peak hours, you will see 1 or 2 counters not working. Now, my problem with it is never about the hike. I think the hike is great.
The productivity improvement after the hike.
I think coming along with the 13% pay hike, they should have a better reward and meritocracy system within the government service itself. I spoke to certain government servants, right, which they told me is quite interesting on the system. Okay, for example, they say, if let's say you are an underperforming staff because your rating is lower than a certain amount, and if I can recall, right, correct me if I'm wrong, if there's any government servant here, you're talking about, let's say, 80%. That is the minimum benchmark to hit, you know. Which is A, you know.
Yeah.
Which is A. Anything less than 80%,
You fail.
You will be denied of training for 2 years, blah, 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 blah. All these kind of things.
Okay.
So if you think about it seriously, right?
Yeah.
That's like saying, right, if you don't get an A, I'm not going to give you training. Wait.
It should be the other way around.
It should be the other way around, right? There's a little weird system that I cannot brain. Certainly, I'm not a government servant. I do not understand. And I'm only hearing a little bit of it. Now, certainly, if anyone of you here are a government servant, you want to share with us some likes, right? What's your personal opinion of it? Do welcome. DM us. I'm more than happy to get my preparation done to come out with this particular episode, right? I think coming together with this 13%, you need to spend money. Spend more. Get a consultant in or get your people in from a Jawatan Kuasa to think about a way to improve the government service, right? The effectiveness and efficiency. No need fire people, no need anything. Just come up with a better thing, so that the 13% pay hike is justified, so that some way or another will reduce leakages, because I believe just by reducing leakages itself, maybe the 13% could be worth it.
Mm.
Could be, right? Could be. Yeah. What do I mean by the leakages? I'm not even talking about corruption leakages.
Mm.
I'm talking about things that maybe usually need one working day to be done. End of the day is 5 working days.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm talking about that kind of leakages, right? Which true, right?
You productivity think about and efficiency. Yeah, you improve on that one, right? You can save a lot of money already.
Correct. Yeah. Remember when this new government took over, right? We went to quite a lot of events and they were talking about how they improved it, in the sense where last time, in order to get certain things approved, it took them like weeks upon weeks. Mm. But right now, it's 5-day turnover.
Yes.
Yeah.
This kind of things.
Good enough.
Yep.
Good enough. Yeah, if you can justify a report on that, I'll be very happy. And yes, and I know it takes 2 years for you to tell. Yeah, just prepare it so that after 2 years, before your election, you show us a report card, we'll vote for you again.
Mm.
Right? Correct. Yeah, that's all that matters.
Yeah, because the thing is, yes, you may hike the salary by 13% today, but from now until the next election, maybe 2-3 years later, by the time people forget already.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then you never improve the productivity and stuff like that. So it's just money just being just thrown out like that.
That's right. Yeah. And that time when I was discussing with someone told me about this 80% thing, right?
Mm.
So he said, you think about it, everyone in the civil service is rated 80%, no, that's why. How on earth are you going to help anyone to improve when your benchmark is A and A only? And then if you're anything lower than A, you can't... I don't know. I can't brain this, right?
Yeah. Right.
But anyway... Yeah, that's definitely, I do not know. Oh, and let's say this. Yeah, I see now we've got insider information. Very interesting. I used to be in KM. To become a medical specialist to enter the program, you must have a score of 80 or 90 or above for 3 consecutive years.
Whoa.
If you effed up 1 year, you need to restart again. See? Yeah. So I welcome NLS. If you can reach out to us and tell us how does it work, right? Definitely we'll keep it anonymous.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll keep all these informant anonymous. Let's do an informant episode.
Yeah.
That'll be pretty cool. So reach out to us in our Instagram. We are more than happy to understand better.
Mm.
Yeah. So I guess that's all about it for now. Yeah. So thank you very much, everyone, for joining us in tonight's episode. Mm. Yeah. Any last things that you want to share with the audience?
No, I think Bitcoin is trying to rebound itself. So, happy trading.
Yeah, as we were talking, some people just start typing 59 already, you know, and stuff.
Yeah,
like that. Yeah. Maybe it's what we say.
Mm.
No, kidding.
Wow, so powerful, what you say.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Have a good night.